Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive with us. Today, we are going to be heading back in time to ancient Judea to explore one of the most pivotal events in history, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
We're zeroing in on the Gospel of Mark this time.
Okay.
It's the earliest and shortest account we have, and it's known for being, like, super action-packed.
Yeah.
We've got some excerpts from a lecture by Dr. Mark Jennings, so he's going to kind of guide us along as we go.
Great.
Let's jump right in.
What's interesting is that Mark doesn't waste any time. Like, he gets right to the heart of the story.
Uh-huh.
It's Jesus already on the cross.
Right.
And he paints this really vivid picture of Jesus's isolation.
Yeah.
He's being mocked even by those, like, right there being crucified next to him.
Wow. Intense. What I find so intriguing is that the mocking words from the crowd actually echo Old Testament prophecies about Jesus, even though they're totally unaware of it.
Right.
How does Dr. Jennings explain that?
He points out that the crowds, without meaning to, like, actually confirm Jesus's earlier claim
about destroying the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days.
Right.
Which is a reference to his resurrection.
Okay.
It's almost like Mark is highlighting the irony of it.
So even in their mockery, they're affirming the very things that they're trying to deny.
Exactly.
Wow, that's so interesting.
And then there's the inscription above Jesus's head,
yeah,
King of the Jews, meant to be like a Roman mockery.
Right.
But it also points to, like, the Jewish hopes for a Messiah.
It's like this one little detail speaks to both Roman power and Jewish expectation. It just adds another layer to the story.
Uh-huh.
But what about this darkness that descends for 3 hours?
Oh, yeah.
That sounds pretty apocalyptic.
It is. Dr. Jennings connects this darkness to the Day of the Lord imagery from the Old Testament, which talks about God's judgment.
Okay.
And the coming of a new age. So essentially, he's suggesting that the crucifixion isn't just some, like, human event.
Okay.
But something with cosmic implications. Could you elaborate on what he means by cosmic implications? This isn't something you typically associate with, like, a Roman execution.
Right. He's arguing that by connecting the crucifixion to the Day of the Lord imagery, Mark is placing Jesus's death within this much larger narrative of God's plan for humanity.
Okay.
It's not just about one man dying.
Yeah.
It's about something much bigger shifting in the universe.
Yeah, it makes you really think about the weight of what's happening.
Yeah.
And then there's Jesus crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
It's such a powerful moment.
Oh, yeah. And what's interesting is that he's quoting directly from Psalm 22, which describes the suffering of a righteous person who feels abandoned by God. And this psalm actually foreshadows many details of the crucifixion.
Really?
Including the mocking, the gambling for his clothes,
wow,
and even the piercing of his hands and feet.
So he's not just reacting to the pain in the moment.
No.
He's deliberately connecting his suffering to this much larger story.
Yeah, precisely. Dr. Jennings suggests that by choosing those specific words, Jesus is identifying himself with the suffering servant described in that psalm and fulfilling the prophecy within it.
What does this connection to the suffering servant tell us about how we might approach our own suffering? Like, is there something we can take away from that?
That's a great question. I think it's important to remember that even Jesus, the Son of God, experienced feelings of abandonment and despair, you know, in his darkest hour.
Yeah.
And his cry of anguish really resonates with, like, the human experience of suffering.
Right.
You know, offering comfort and solidarity to anyone who's ever felt alone in their pain.
And then we have this really surprising moment.
Yeah.
Where the Roman centurion, the one, you know, in charge of the execution, declares truly this man was the Son of God.
Right.
You just wouldn't expect that from somebody in his position.
You wouldn't. And Dr. Jennings explains how this confession relates to Roman apotheosis rituals.
Okay.
These were ceremonies where a deceased emperor would be declared a god. Hmm. It adds another layer to understanding how a Roman might have viewed Jesus' death.
So even in this brutal scene, there's this recognition of something extraordinary happening.
Mm-hmm.
Could you clarify what these apotheosis rituals entail?
Sure.
And, like, why they're relevant here?
So in Roman culture, when an emperor died, the Senate could vote to deify him, essentially declaring him a god.
Right.
This involved elaborate ceremonies and ritual to elevate the emperor to divine status.
Right.
And Dr. Jennings suggests that the centurion, witnessing Jesus' death and possibly hearing his words from Psalm 22, might have interpreted these events through the lens of his own cultural understanding of divinity.
Wow.
So his declaration takes on this new significance.
It's not just a random statement.
Right.
It's potentially a Roman soldier recognizing Jesus as divine within, like the framework of his own worldview.
Exactly.
Wow, that definitely sheds some new light on the centurion's words. What makes this confession even more remarkable is that it's the first time in Mark that someone openly acknowledges Jesus' divinity.
Right.
Without being, you know, silenced or rebuked. It's like the truth can finally be spoken out loud.
It's definitely a turning point in the narrative. Mark then shifts the scene to the empty tomb.
Okay.
He tells us that some women went to the tomb on the third day, and he's very specific in mentioning that they knew where Jesus was laid to rest.
Why is that detail so important?
It directly addresses, like, a common doubt about the resurrection.
Okay.
That maybe they went to the wrong tomb.
Right.
Mark wants to make it clear that these women were certain about the location. It adds weight to their testimony.
So they arrive at the tomb expecting to find Jesus' body. And what happens?
They find the stone rolled away and an angel inside.
Okay.
Who tells them, "He has risen. Go tell the disciples, including Peter, that you will see him in Galilee."
So they're given this incredible news and told to spread the word.
Right.
But then Mark did something really unexpected.
Yeah.
He just ends the gospel right there at verse 8.
Wow.
No dramatic resurrection appearance.
Right.
No Jesus walking through walls or anything like that. No. Nothing. And this has puzzled scholars for centuries.
Oh, I bet.
Like, the scholarly consensus is that the verses describing the resurrection appearances, Mark 16:9-20, were added later.
Hmm.
The original ending lacked an actual encounter with the risen Jesus.
That's surprising. I mean, Jesus repeatedly promised his followers that they would see him again.
Right. Why would Mark leave us hanging like that?
Right.
Like, did he intend to? Or was there more to the story that got lost?
It's a real head-scratcher. But there's this fascinating theory proposed by Dr. Rithington that the missing ending of Mark might actually exist within Matthew's gospel.
Really?
Specifically, Matthew 28:16-17.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What makes them think that?
Well, let's look at those verses. Matthew writes, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them.
Oh, okay.
And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted."
Hmm. It's short and to the point. It does have a similar feel to Mark's writing style.
Mm-hmm.
What else makes those verses stand out?
Well, the detail about some disciples doubting, even after seeing Jesus,
yeah,
fits perfectly with how Mark portrays them throughout his whole gospel.
Right.
Often misunderstanding and questioning.
Right. They weren't exactly the most faithful bunch, were they?
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like they missed the mark more often than not.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. They were human, just like us.
Right.
So if Mark did include a resurrection appearance, I doubt it would have been like a straightforward, "Here I am, all doubts erased" kind of a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It probably would have been much more nuanced and complex, reflecting the disciples' ongoing journey of faith.
So more like, "Wait, is that really you?
Yeah.
And what does this all mean?" kind of reaction.
Exactly. I think there would have been confusion, lingering doubts, and the struggle to reconcile the resurrected Jesus with the one they knew before.
Right.
It would be very much in line with Mark's tendency to show the messy reality of discipleship.
Speaking of messy, that's exactly what the potential ending in Matthew 28 seems to show.
Right.
Even after seeing the risen Jesus, some still doubted.
Right.
It's not the, you know, clean, happily ever after ending you might expect.
Right. And I think that's precisely why it fits so well with Mark's overall message.
Yeah.
Remember, he's not presenting some fairy tale version of faith.
Yeah.
He's showing us the raw, challenging journey of following Jesus,
uh-huh,
even when it's difficult and we don't have all the answers.
So a resurrection appearance, if there was one in Mark's original version, wouldn't have been about resolving all doubts.
Right.
And proving Jesus' divinity. It would have been more about pushing the disciples and us into this new reality of following a risen Lord.
Precisely. And this ties into another key theme in Mark. The idea of discipleship as this call to radical obedience and trust.
Uh-huh.
Even in the face of mystery and uncertainty.
It's like Mark is saying, look, even the disciples struggled with this.
Right.
So don't beat yourself up if you have questions too.
Yeah.
Doubt is part of the journey.
That's a powerful insight.
Yeah.
It normalizes the struggle and makes the story so much more relatable to us today.
Yeah.
You know, we're not expected to have blind faith. We're mm-hmm. invited to wrestle with the mystery.
Yeah.
And choose to follow even when we don't fully understand.
It's funny how this deep dive into one specific gospel raises these bigger questions about the nature of faith itself.
Mm.
It's not just about learning historical facts.
Right.
It's about grappling with what those facts mean for our lives today.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes the Gospel of Mark so compelling. It's not giving us neat and tidy answers. Mm. It's sparking those, what does this mean for me, questions.
Right.
That can lead to real transformation.
It challenges us to think about how we often crave easy answers.
Yeah.
And clear-cut resolutions.
Yeah.
But faith rarely works that way, does it?
Right. It's a process, a journey of wrestling with doubts.
Yeah.
Embracing the unknown,
yeah,
and choosing to follow even when we're not sure where the path leads.
That's a powerful message, especially in today's world where there's so much pressure to have it all figured out.
Mm.
Perhaps Mark is suggesting that it's okay to not have all the answers. It's okay to question, to doubt, to grapple with the mysteries of faith.
And maybe that's precisely the point. By ending his gospel so abruptly, he's challenging us to step into that mystery and uncertainty.
Hmm.
He's inviting us to continue the story, to find our own meaning and purpose in this ongoing journey of faith.
I think that's a great way to frame it. Mark isn't giving us this finished product.
Yeah.
He's giving us a starting point.
And that starting point leads us to consider the crucifixion and resurrection not just as historical events, but as living realities that continue to shape our understanding of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him.
It's about taking these ancient stories and finding our own place within them.
Exactly. And that's something we can all do, regardless of our background or beliefs. Mark's gospel invites us to engage with these profound questions, to wrestle with the mysteries, and ultimately to find our own path in the journey of faith.
I love how this conversation has taken us from like the historical details of the crucifixion and resurrection to these broader reflections on the nature of faith itself.
That's the beauty of these ancient texts. They have this way of speaking to us across time and challenging us to think more deeply about our own lives.
It's been a fascinating exploration so far. But before we wrap things up, I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier. We talked of the tearing of the temple veil when Jesus died.
Oh, right.
But we haven't really explored, like, what that means.
Yeah.
Is that something that Dr. Jennings addresses in his lecture?
He does, and it's a detail that's definitely worth unpacking. So, in the temple in Jerusalem, the Holy of Holies was the most sacred space.
Okay.
Where the presence of God was believed to dwell.
Uh-huh.
And it was separated from the rest of the temple by a thick curtain, the veil.
Okay.
Only the high priest could enter that space, and only once a year on the Day of Atonement.
Right.
When Mark tells us that this veil was torn in two at the moment of Jesus's death,
yeah,
it's a really powerful symbol.
What's the significance of that? Like, what is that symbolism telling us?
Well, Dr. Jennings argues that Mark is highlighting this profound shift in the relationship between God and humanity.
Mm-hmm.
The tearing of the veil represents the barrier between God and us being removed.
Okay.
Through Jesus' sacrifice, access to God is now open to everyone, not just a select few.
So it's not about a physical building anymore. It's about a direct connection with the divine.
Exactly.
That's available to all.
Mark is emphasizing the spiritual transformation that Jesus' death and resurrection make possible.
Mm.
It's this radical departure from the old sacrificial system and the exclusivity of the temple.
It makes you think about how this one event, the tearing of the veil, encapsulates the heart of Mark's gospel.
All right.
It's about breaking down barriers,
yeah,
challenging the status quo, offering a new way of experiencing God's presence.
Precisely. And it connects back to those cosmic implications we discussed earlier.
Uh-huh.
The crucifixion wasn't just about one man dying. It was about this cosmic shift, like a new era being ushered in.
Okay, so we've talked about the crucifixion, the empty tomb, the missing ending, and the tearing of the veil.
Mm.
What's the overall takeaway here? Like, what's the big picture message that Mark is trying to convey?
Well, if we connect all these pieces, Mark is presenting Jesus as this suffering servant, a Messiah who doesn't fit those conventional expectations.
Right.
He challenges the religious and political authorities of his time.
Mm-hmm.
He suffers and dies, but through that sacrifice,
yeah, achieves something truly remarkable.
Right.
He breaks down barriers, offers forgiveness and healing, and ultimately paves the way for this new relationship with God.
It's such a radical message, especially for that time.
Yeah.
It makes you realize that faith in Jesus isn't about following a set of rules or rituals,
right,
but it's about embracing this way of life that's rooted in love, compassion, and service.
And it's not a passive faith. Mark emphasizes the cost of discipleship. He shows us the disciples struggling, doubting, and even failing at times.
Yeah.
But they keep getting back up and following Jesus.
That's encouraging in a way. It tells us that it's okay to not have it all figured out. Mm-hmm. It's okay to stumble and fall as long as we keep moving forward in our faith journey.
That's a great point. And I think that's one of the things that makes Mark's gospel so relevant today.
Mm.
It speaks to our human experience of doubt, struggle, and like this ongoing process of growth. So even with the abrupt ending and the missing resurrection appearance, there's still this powerful message of hope and transformation.
Absolutely. And I think that unanswered question, what did that resurrection appearance look like, is intentional. It's an invitation for us to imagine, to fill in the gaps, to consider what it means for us to encounter the risen Christ in our own lives.
It's a challenge to take this ancient story and make it our own, to find personal meaning in it.
And if Matthew 28 does hold that missing piece of Mark's ending, it adds another layer to that challenge.
Mm.
The fact that some doubted, even after seeing Jesus, reinforces the idea that faith isn't always about seeing to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's about choosing to believe even when we have doubts.
It's about wrestling with those doubts, grappling with the mysteries, and ultimately choosing to follow Jesus on this journey of faith wherever it may lead.
Well said. I think that's a great place to wrap things up. This deep dive into Mark has been such a fascinating exploration.
It has.
We've delved into the historical details, unpacked the symbolism, and wrestled with the bigger questions that this gospel raises.
It's been a journey of discovery, not just about the gospel of Mark, but about the nature of faith itself. To all our listeners out there, we encourage you to pick up the gospel of Mark and see what jumps out at you.
Yes.
What resonates with your own experiences? What challenges your assumptions? What questions does it raise for you? Keep those questions in mind, and let's continue this conversation together.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking truth. You know, we talk about how Mark's gospel ends so abruptly.
Yeah.
With that, like, cliffhanger.
Right.
No resurrection appearance.
Right. It just kind of leaves us hanging.
It does. And that's got to be intentional, right? Like, he had to have some reason for doing that.
Yeah, it's definitely a deliberate choice. And there's been a lot of debate among scholars about, like, what Mark's purpose might have been.
Mm.
Some argue that he intended to create this sense of anticipation.
Yeah. Like, he wanted his readers to kind of grapple with the implications of the empty tomb and the angel's message.
So, like, what does it mean that Jesus is risen?
Exactly. And how should we respond to that?
Mm.
Others suggest that Mark might have had a specific resurrection appearance in mind.
Okay.
But for some reason, it either got lost or wasn't included in the final version of his gospel.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the possibility that Matthew might have preserved that missing ending.
Right, with the account of the disciples meeting Jesus on the mountain in Galilee.
But even if that's not the case, there's still something so powerful about the way Mark leaves us with this open ending.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like he's inviting us to step into the mystery ourselves.
Yeah, to imagine what that encounter with the risen Jesus might have looked like.
And to ponder what it means for our own lives.
Right, because the resurrection isn't just some event that happened in the past.
Uh-huh.
It's a reality that continues to shape our present and our future.
I love that. It's not just history. It's this living, breathing truth that we're invited to participate in.
And I think that's one of the most important takeaways from our deep dive into the Gospel of Mark.
Mm.
It's a reminder that faith isn't about having all the answers.
Mm.
It's about embracing the mystery.
Yeah.
Wrestling with the questions.
Right.
And choosing to follow Jesus even when we don't fully understand.
And that's a challenge that each of us faces no matter where we are on our faith journey.
Exactly. And it's a challenge that Mark's gospel invites us to lean into, to be okay with not knowing everything, to trust that even in the midst of our doubts and uncertainties, God is still working.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful message to end on.
Mm-hmm.
This deep dive into Mark has been so eye-opening. It's challenged me to think differently about the crucifixion and resurrection, and it's left me with a whole lot to ponder.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I hope our listeners have found it just as thought-provoking.
Yeah, you know, we've only just scratched the surface here. There's so much more to discover in the Gospel of Mark. So to everyone listening, we encourage you to keep digging, keep exploring, and keep asking those tough questions. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep seeking truth.